This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Last night, we had two super disappointments playing on Monday Night Football. The Bengals, who are not going to make the playoffs in the AFC despite Joe Burrow having an MVP-caliber season, and the Cowboys, who won the NFC East last year, came into the season expected to either go back-to-back in the East or to make the playoffs with a wild card. Like Cincinnati, they're now 5-8. So I thought that'd be a nice launching point to discuss the biggest surprise and the biggest disappointment in football at this point, which we'll get into in just a moment. But first, Darris, a little game show music, please, if you would be so kind. We'll go around the horn.
Oh, man.
May the best man win. The Washington Commanders play the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. What broadcast crew are we getting for Commanders Saints? And if you already know the answer, I would ask that you recuse yourself.
Can I look up the broadcast? I'm not looking up the actual game. I can never remember the teams out of my head.
We don't need any computers. We're fine. Everybody's fine.
I can never remember the guys.
You're still clicking.
Yeah, I'm looking at the broadcast teams.
You don't need to do that. Who do you think's calling the game? It's Fox.
Okay.
You got a pretty good idea of who's on
Fox. I can never remember who they are off the top of my head when it's game show time. I ruined the game for you, so I'm trying to remember all the different guys. All right, so it's not Kevin Burkhardt. That's the top team. It's not his team. So I'm going to say it's not Kevin Burkhardt. That's my answer. Who are the other teams? Who's like the seventh seed
team?
Ryan,
I'll go to you.
I'm going to say Joe Davis and Greg Olsen.
It's Joe Davis and Greg Olsen.
Now,
not that hard. That's all we're trying to do. That went great. We'll move along now. Now that I'm properly frustrated by how that went, it doesn't have to be complicated.
I just never remember the teams.
You watch a lot of football.
I do.
You don't have a pretty good beat on who calls games?
I mean, I know the big ones.
Okay. Joe Davis, pretty damn big one.
Yep.
Calls the World Series.
Yeah, Jordan,
the Golden
really good.
Pipes, number two team with Greg Olsen. Nothing there. All right, that's fine. Biggest surprise in the NFL this season. What team?
So this is probably not a great answer, but it is for me. Or it's my answer. It's the Steelers. I thought the Steelers were going to be pedestrian. They're going, let's opt into a Justin Fields and Russell Wilson situation after he was cast out of a second straight team over the span of only a few seasons. I thought it was going to be a train wreck, and they were going to finish under 500 for the first time in forever. Nope. 10-3 record, one of the best records in the NFL, despite a really difficult schedule in a really difficult division. They've been awesome, and really, it's been their offense that's been remarkable. So I know that Pittsburgh winning shouldn't be a big surprise to anybody because they always win, but how they're doing it with how proficient this offense is, it's just a tip of the cap type moment to that group who I thought would be pedestrian, okay, maybe at best, and sort of fight it out as they always do, winning games because they blocked a punt or the other team missed a field goal. No, that is a legit squad.
It's a good one. How about the Minnesota Vikings? I thought they'd be better than most people did. I had them as
a
wild card because they had so much talent, even though they lost Cousins at quarterback. I loved their defense last year, came on like gangbusters second half of the season. Brian Flores is a dude, should be a head coach in the league again. Big fan of his. And Kevin O'Connell's an outstanding offensive coach. But I did not think they'd get this much out of Sam Darnold, who, after going for basically 350 and 5 this weekend, I believe is now up to 28 touchdowns and 10 picks. He had a rough patch for a couple of weeks where he turned the ball over a little more than he had been, kind of played uneasy football, and I just wasn't convinced he'd get back on track, but he has. They are outstanding. They play great defense. They're pretty good on special teams. Offensively, they're explosive. They can run the ball better than they have in recent years. The Vikings are going to be a tough out, and they are definitely, for me, the biggest surprise in the NFL.
Weakness or most disappointing team? I don't know why I say weakness first. Most disappointing team is the Jets. This one's too easy. Some idiot, I'm not going to name any names, but it was me, predicted they would win the AFC East and Buffalo would take a step back because of all the talent that they kept losing.
At least you didn't have them in the Super Bowl. A lot of people did.
Yeah, that was just like the loudest, all-time wrongest thing I probably ever said. 3-10, and they're a disaster. They're worse than they've been. Because you look at that roster and you go, I'd love to have Garrett Wilson. Man, I'd love to have Breece Hall. This is a defense that has been really, really good despite how horrendous their quarterback play has been over the last several seasons, putting them in bad spot after bad spot, and here they are, an elite division-winning playoff caliber, maybe even championship caliber group. And that is a really, really good team that all they need is some model of decency at quarterback, and they'll be good. And they have been one disaster after the next. Despite that talent, they are 3-10 and picking in the top five.
Biggest disappointment for me has been the San Francisco 49ers. I would have thought right now they were 10-3 or 9-4, and they're 6-7 and probably going to miss the playoffs. Now, they have a good excuse. Trent Williams has missed time. Christian McCaffrey's missed almost the entire year. In fact, their backup running back has been hurt as well. Deebo Samuel has missed time. Brandon Ayuk's missed most of the season. I mean, they have been decimated by injuries. It seems to happen to them more than a lot of teams for whatever reason. I think you have enough injury-prone guys.
Yeah, every few years, whatever this is happens to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have enough dudes on your roster who are, I don't even want to say old, but like aging and play that physical, violent brand of football that they do collectively as an organization. Well, guess what? You're going to have some injuries, and that certainly happens to them. But still, for San Francisco to be sitting here at 6-7, they could run the table, I guess, beat the Rams, Dolphins, Lions, and Cardinals, and get to 10-7 and maybe still get in. But it's unlikely. Better chance that they finish 7-10 or 8-9 or something like that. And after a stretch where they were in the NFC Championship game every year, that's a huge step back. They might actually, I don't think they'll blow it up, but I could see them.
They have to do something.
Rearranging the deck chairs here on the ship.
Yeah, as they're about to pay Brock Purdy $1 trillion or
Brock
whatever
will get 60-plus yeah. mil. They already paid Ayuk. I bet you Deebo Samuel's gone. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of their key pieces, maybe Trent Williams is gone. Now they're going to have to regroup.
Yes, they've layered some talent. Maybe, they drafted Pearsall in the first round, and Juwan Jennings has played well in Spart. So you have to you picked one when you signed Ayuk. So yeah, I could see some guys moving on. But I pointed this out previously. Every so often, this just happens to them, right? Where they are so good, when they're right, they go 13-3. When they're not, it's a 6-10, 4-12. They just can't get right. There's always one step forward, 10 steps sideways, 3 steps back, and they're just never the same. They show signs of it even during those years where they're just not that good, as again they did in 2020. They're doing it now here in 24, but they just can't seem to get out of their own way talking about the 49ers. But yeah, the thing was, we sort of didn't, I don't want to say we didn't notice it because everyone did. A lot of people had them going far because, again, they usually do. But that division was so vulnerable for so long. Before kind of Seattle took charge of it, Arizona was up there at the top for a while. You're going, yeah, well, nobody's any good. Now you look up, and there's San Francisco looking up at everybody.
Another surprise, team that's been better than I would have thought. How about the L.A. Chargers or the Denver Broncos? I mean, you could go with either of the 8-5
Broncos are my second answer, yeah.
In the AFC West, right? I mean, those teams both have a chance right now at double-digit wins. Year one of a head coach. We know all about that here in D.C. Jim Harbaugh wins everywhere he goes initially and then kind of wears out his welcome. He's one of those guys that grates on you, it seems like. But Sean Payton, where are all the Sean Payton jokes? Remember, he was like enemy of the state number one. Everyone hated that guy's guts because he was mean to Russell Wilson, said terrible things about Sean Payton. I think he handled a situation really poorly with Robert Saleh where he like made fun of their handling of something. What was that deal about? That everyone hated Sean Payton because he was mean to Robert Saleh? Does anybody remember this?
I'm trying to know what you're talking about. He said the way they handled something. Was it the Jets or was it a different team? I don't remember being Saleh specifically.
I'm pretty sure it was Saleh.
Could be right.
Was it Rodgers related? He basically acted like he was an NFL analyst at the podium and was like commenting on another team. Let me see. The Denver Broncos head coach Sean Payton was brought in to fix the most embarrassing team from 2022. Payton specifically pointed to former head coach Nathaniel Hackett. That's what it is.
Yeah, it was Hackett and Denver. Yeah, there we go.
They can only beat the blank out of you so much, Payton told USA Today, but everybody's got a little stink on their hands. It's not Russell. It was a poor offensive line. I mean, yeah, he crushed Nathaniel Hackett and the job he did in Denver. Which, by the way, he said nothing incorrect.
Yeah, he was right. Just weird to hear someone do it.
But yes, but like, do you remember last year that his Q rating just was in the dumpster?
Oh, totally. Yeah, everyone was
mad. Everyone thought he was the biggest jerk, the biggest idiot, the biggest moron in the league. All he's done this year is turned Bo Nix into a really good quarterback, and he's 8-5.
Yeah, they're 8-5.
I don't hear anybody screaming about him anymore.
Here's another disappointment. The Chicago Bears. Remember, they were next? This was a group. Listen, admittedly, a really, really tough division, because then NFC North's going to have three playoff teams pretty much, you know, lock that up. But still, nobody thought they'd be 4-9 at this stage, right? Coach let go. Everyone's kind of wondering, did they really have it? I mean, they had all the talent in the world. They've done a really shrewd job over the last several seasons, accruing draft picks, kind of moving around the board, adding talent, the Montez Sweats of the world, number of first-round picks. Just you stock the cabinet full for a team that was going to be on the rise. And again, I say they are 4-9.